praise the Lord again, church. Thank you, Brother Dan, for blessing our hearts tonight. I love those old songs. It's great to hear them. We're going to be going into a series. Of course, I know we have Mother's Day, and then we have Pentecost Sunday. You can go ahead and be seated. And so we're going to kind of weave this in. And I just really feel, I don't know how many of you have been paying attention to the news as of late. I know sometimes it's frustrating because the news is it's so negative. But this is what's going on in the Middle East with Syria, with Israel, with Iran, with Lebanon. This is all Bible prophecies that are being fulfilled right before our eyes. I've said this before, if there ever was a time to dig in and get a hold of God, it's now. I think one of the most frustrating things as a pastor is you see people go years and years and years and years and years and years of faithfully serving God, and we're this close to the end, and they just give up. You know, I can take, Brother Dan Powell had a root canal today. I'm sorry if I share that. You know what? You know, we can take a little bit of pain knowing that once we get through that pain that things are going to be all right. I've had a number of root canals now. Not my favorite thing to do. But when I think of the alternative, you know, and I look at life and I look at, not that living for God is a pain. I'm not equating it, a root canal, to living for God. But sometimes just the things we go through and we have to deal with in life can just be a pain. They can be difficult to deal with. And it's so very important that we don't give up and we don't quit when we're this close to the end of this. So we're going to be going into a series, and this is going to be just an introduction tonight, kind of get you a feel. And this is something that I've really, God has just been dealing with me on literally since right after our fast, back in January and into February. And it's just kind of taken this long to put it all into words and to put it all together. But I want to title this series Divine Alignment. Divine Alignment. And part one, we're going to be talking about dimensions of destiny as an introduction. We're going to talk tonight about divine alignment, an introduction to it. Then we're going to talk about divine alignment with the right place. We're going to talk about divine alignment with the right people. We're going to talk about divine alignment with the right things, as in priorities in our lives. We're going to talk about the divine alignment with the right schedule. You know, sometimes we miss out on what God has for us, Brother Peter, because our schedule, we refuse to allow our schedule to be flexible with God's will for our lives. We just live by a schedule. Everything has to be so rigid that I can't do this because it doesn't fit into my life. And then also divine alignment with the right things. The priorities, the schedule, and the things. Those three things, of course, then with people, place, priorities, schedule, and things are what will take our lives where that God has a divine appointment, a dimension that he desires us to be in and live in. And those things are the things that cause us not to be able to live and maintain in the dimension that God wants us to be in. And it's things that we deal with all the time. So tonight is an introduction. I think that looking over this and my life and such, I think one of the biggest struggles in our Christian walks is that we feel that in order to fully serve God and to fulfill His wills or His will in our lives, that we have to be perfect. Anybody ever felt that way? I have talked myself and allowed the enemy to talk into my mind so many times, and I have been talked out of so many things in my life simply because I've listened to the voice of the enemy saying, you can't do that because you're not perfect enough. So the enemy comes in, and I'm just going to be frank tonight. We have to take, as a church, as individuals, and we have to stop allowing the perfection syndrome to keep you and I from fulfilling God's will in our lives. Now, we're going to talk about this for a few minutes, so I'm going to clarify this. We have to understand something, that we are not yet perfect. I'll use the terminology there, Bishop, not yet, because it's only when we shed our mortality for immortality that we will ever be perfect. We will never be perfect, and you will never be perfect, and I will never be perfect in my prayer life. I will struggle always in my prayer life. Now, does that mean that I stop doing it? Does that mean that I say, well, God, I can't handle this. I'm not good at it, so I'm going to stop. No. We're always going to struggle. Our flesh is always going to have other things it would rather do than pray. We're always going to struggle with fasting. Some of you may love to fast. I know some of you in here love to fast, but your body, after so many days, begins to fight back. And we struggle with that. We're always going to struggle with that because we're always going to live in our flesh. We have to understand that God created us as fleshly beings. I cut myself, I bleed. You cut yourself, you bleed. If you don't, there's something wrong with you, okay? That's our flesh. We're flesh, we're blood, we're bones, tissues. But we're not yet perfect. And the first key to fulfilling our destiny and reaching and staying in a dimension that God wants us to stay in is we've got to realize that we're not yet perfect and we're never going to reach that level of perfection in this life. So we've got to learn how to live with it, our imperfections. And the first key to fulfilling our destiny is to realize that, you know what, I'm not perfect in my life and I'm going to make mistakes, but I cannot become complacent about my mistakes. There's a big difference with that. Say, well, you know, I just got this problem of cussing, so you know what, God, you're just going to have to get used to that. No, that's not how it works. Okay, we're not yet perfect, but we should strive for perfection. So if cussing is something you have problems with, you need to spend some time in prayer with God saying, Lord, you got to help me with this because I'm not being a very good witness. So when you look at this, when you look at Apostle Paul and all that he did and all that he did that was right, still, he realized that he had a very long way to go in order to reach that perfection in his life. And in spite of all the spiritual experiences that he had in his life, he did not think that he had attained everything that God had for him to attain. Unless we realize our end or our need and our true condition, we will become complacent. We become self-satisfied and we become as the church of Laodicea that did not realize that they were in spiritual poverty. They were rich, increased with goods. They had need of nothing. But the Lord looked down and said, listen, you're neither hot nor cold. You're in a lukewarm state. Nobody likes lukewarm coffee. Nobody likes lukewarm orange juice. Nobody likes lukewarm water. So I'm going to spew you out of my mouth. Our hearts, if our hearts are deceitful, then we become blind to our own faults. And we must ask the Lord to reveal to us all that is lacking in our lives that lead us into a sustainable path of divine destiny and divine promises. When we look at Paul, he writes to the church at Philippi in Philippians 3:12, not that I have already obtained all of this, meaning spiritual perfection, or that have already been made perfect. He's telling them, listen, I haven't reached that level. I haven't reached that point yet. He was struggling in all of that. We look at Jeremiah 17, 9 and 10, paraphrasing. It says, the heart is deceitful above all things and beyond cure. And who can understand it? Psalms 139, 22 and 23, paraphrasing. It says, search me, O God. Search me, O God. This is why prayer, this is why revival prayer meetings, church prayer meetings, pre-service prayer, this is why this is so important, because prayer is a foundational building block in our relationship with God. How many of you are married here tonight? How many of you haven't spoken to your wife? Maybe you don't want to raise your hand on this. Maybe you haven't spoken to your spouse in the last 24 hours. Anybody here? Just, boy, that's a bad question to ask here in an audience like this. We just had a marriage seminar. How many of you, it's been a week, you haven't talked to your wife? How many of you go to work and you don't talk to your boss? You don't talk to Pastor Phil. He's been hiding out in his office all week. Now I know what's going on. Is there a problem here, bro? You don't know? Could you give us a little time out here, folks? Phil? No. You see, prayer, I was talking with someone just recently on this. Prayer really is conversation with God. That's what our relationship with one another. We were talking about driving down the road and praying as we drive down the road. I know a lot of people say, well, you know, you need to pray at home before you go to work. And I agree with that. But, you know, sometimes it's just nice because when I drive a lot, I'm by myself. And I don't always want to listen to the radio. I don't always want to listen to preaching tapes or CDs or MP3s or whatever plugs into your dash now. I don't want to always do that. Sometimes I just like it to be quiet and alone. And I just say, God, there's my seat. There's your seat. Sit down. Let's talk. And I'll drive because, you know, if my wife was there, I'd be talking to her. If Brother Jeff Merkus was there, sitting there, I'd be talking to him. If Brother Thomas was sitting there, I'd be talking to him. If my grandkids were there, they'd be talking to me, and I wouldn't get anything in edgewise. So you know, I would be having a conversation with someone, so why not have that conversation with God? And I think that's when the Scripture says that we should pray without ceasing. That's what they're talking about. You know what? You need to be in a constant conversation with God. God should be right there. Search me, O God, and know my heart. And then it goes on to say, test me. How many of us like to be tested by God? But we say, the psalmist is saying, test me and know my anxious, nervous thoughts. See if there is any offensive thing in me and lead me in the way everlasting. Church, we must pursue the purpose of God with all diligence for our lives, and we need to pursue it with a sense of urgency because we are simply running out of time. The next key to fulfilling our destiny is to pursue the purpose that God has in our lives with all diligence. Listen, church, how many times has God spoken in the prophetics that God has chosen this church? Who is this church? Sister Renee, who is this church? All of us. So when God speaks, I have chosen you. You are a chosen vessel. I have set you aside. Who's he talking to? He's not just talking about Bishop. He's not just talking about Pastor Roy or Pastor Peter, Pastor Phil. It's got a problem, so I'm not so sure. Pastor Shane, I'm just having a little fun here, okay? No, he's talking about all of us. All of us. We have all been chosen. So he's called us. He's called us with a purpose, and we must press on to find the plan of God for our lives and then pursue that plan with our whole hearts with a sense of urgency. As in the house, the woods are on fire, the woods are burning, and we need to take and get out now. That kind of an urgency. You see, Apostle Paul, he exerted all of his energies. Everything he did was about fulfilling the plan of God for his life. The Apostle Paul, he asked two important questions when he met the Lord on the way to Damascus. This was before he received the Holy Ghost, and he says, the very first question he asked when he was struck down is, he says, who are you, Lord? That's the first question he asked. Who are you, Lord? And the second question he asked was, what do you want me to do? This was before he even experienced the Holy Ghost, Brother Dave. Those two questions. We need to ask, who are you, Lord? And what do you want me to do? These are two vital questions that we've got to ask ourselves in order to live and fulfill our spiritual destiny. The purpose of God for our lives is to make us a witness of the gospel of Jesus Christ and to win souls and make disciples. We're not here for bake sales. I want to just get really blunt here. We're not here for coffee and donuts. We're not here for Bible quizzing tournaments. We're not here for Sunday school. Those are all ministries that we have. I'm not saying that that's wrong, but that's not why God called us to this place. He called us to win disciples and teach them. Transform them. The purpose of God is to transform our lives into the image of Jesus Christ. And the Lord has chosen us in order to bear fruit in our lives. You see, we can bear fruit in ministry, but a lot of times we don't bear the fruit in ministry. We have ministries that are barren because it's more about the ministry than it is about producing fruit. We have to pursue the purpose of God in our lives. Why? We should not allow any other influence to divert us from our destiny. We should be willing to pay any price to please God and fulfill His plan for our lives. Jesus Christ was focused on finishing His task during His life on earth. Therefore, when He was able to complete His mission on this earth, when He died on Calvary, and He was able to say, it is finished. He wasn't just saying that my life is finished. He's saying, I came here, I accomplished what I came here to accomplish, and it is completed. It's done with. I have nothing left on this earth that I must do. I've completed what I came here to do. You see, when we reach the end of our lives, would we be able to say the same thing? Would we be able to say to God, as we slip into eternity, perhaps on our deathbed in a hospital, would we be able to look and pray and say, God, it is finished. I've completed everything that I felt you have called me to do in my life? Would we be able to say with the Apostle Paul that we have finished our course and now have a crown of righteousness that's waiting for us? You see, we need such a dedication and commitment in order to fulfill the destiny that the Lord has planned for us in our lives. You see, God doesn't need our finances, church. Did you know that? I'm thankful for all of you that support the church. But God's saying, you know what? I don't want your wallet. I want your life. And sometimes we use our wallets to defer or to deter what God is... You know, it's a lot easier to say, well, you know what, I'll just give to Brother Forkpaw over there in Liberia, their church. I'll give to that, and that will suffice. But that's not what God's asking. God's saying, listen, I want all of you. He looks out and he says, you know what, Tim Knopp? I'm not interested in your job. I don't even care whether or not you have a job. I want all of you. Because if you give me all of you, you won't have to worry about anything else. You're not going to have to worry about a job. You're not going to have to worry about health. You're not going to have to worry because you have given all of you to him. You see, if we read Hebrews 1:3, it tells me that God upholds all things by the word of his power. Meaning all things, both great and small, are all held together by the power of his word. God's word is powerful. Now Job 9:4 through 10 says, he is wise in heart and mighty in strength, who hath hardened himself against him and hath prospered, which removeth the mountains, and they know not, which overtaketh them in his anger, which shaketh the earth out of her place, and the pillars thereof tremble, which commandeth the sun, and it riseth not, and sealeth up the stars, which alone spreadeth out the heavens, and treadeth upon the waves of the sea, which maketh Arcturus, Orion, and Pleiades, and the chambers of the south, speaking of the different constellations in the heavens, which doeth great things past finding out, yea, and wonders without number. You see, our God, we have to understand, our God is a sovereign God, and he controls everything. He controls our successes, he controls our failures, he controls our lives, if we allow him. He sets up kings and he takes them down. That's why I'm not worried about what's happening over in the Middle East, because God says, you know what? I have got all of this in control. I have been maneuvering. I have been manipulating. God can do that if he wants to. I have been moving pieces for generations, for centuries, to set up what is happening right now. Because he says, in the end, all of this has to take place. It must take place. He sets up boundaries. He tells the oceans where to stop. That's why I don't believe Al Gore when he says by 2016, Manhattan's going to be underwater and there'll be no ice on the northern ice cap in the Arctic. He did make that prediction. I don't know if any of you knew that or not, but he doesn't set that up. God says, I control the boundaries of the oceans, and I tell them where to stop. I set the planet spinning. I control the universe. I'm the Alpha. I'm the Omega. I'm the beginning. I'm the end. I hold the past. I hold the present. I hold the future in my hand. When we give our lives to God, we must give him control of all of it. And this is where our battle begins. We're talking about stepping into a different dimension. We're talking about living and operating in a different dimension, Brother Bunker. This is what has been prophesied. This is what has been spoken of. But sometimes we get right there. We taste it. We step into it. We experience it for just a little bit, and then we back off. God is in control of every atom inside and outside of our bodies. What it falls down to is there's a battle between our will and his will. If you ever have to ask yourself, why am I struggling in my walk with God? The first question you have to ask yourself is my will in alignment with his will? And you will never know that if you don't communicate with him. This is just foundational. If we don't get this right, listen, we can forget about all of the other stuff. Because where God is desiring us to go in a very short order, Pastor Peter, it is going to take more than just Pastor Roy or Bishop or Pastor Tom. It's going to take more than us to get us there. It's going to take all of us. We're all going to have to be. All of this. God controls everything. By him, all things exist. Everything is ultimately made up to line up with his divine purpose. No matter how old we are or how young we are, you and I, we were designed to fulfill his purpose. That's why he created us. And we must understand, church, that there is nothing outside of God's control. There's nothing outside of his power. There's nothing outside of his authority. So how do we, as an imperfect saint of God, seeking to do his divine will, stepping into a different dimension that at times is far beyond our understanding, how do we acquire this? How do we maintain this? And how do we live in this? And that's what's been bugging me since February. You see, the only way that this is going to work, the only way that we're going to be able to do this, is we have to align ourselves up with God. God's not going to come in there and say, you know what, church? All you got, I'm just going to take where you are right now, and I'm going to align myself with where you are right now. No, God is saying, listen, if you want to step through, if you want to experience, if you want to feel and see and hear and touch and taste and be involved in what I'm calling you and asking you, you've got to get into my game. Because I'm not getting into yours. You see, people, places, our jobs, events that God can line up for you and for me and for this church. Why does God take and line up? Why does God take and line us up with a Hmong pastor? And why not somebody else? Because God says, I'm doing this to fulfill a plan and a purpose, not just in his life, but in this church. He's doing all of this. You see, God never has a plan without a purpose for it. We have all kinds of plans that sometimes have very little purpose. But God doesn't go out and say, oh, I've got all of these plans, but there's no reason behind it. There's no real purpose for it. No, everything God does has a purpose. And his purpose, the purpose of our involvement, is not to make us look good in the community, but it's to make us involved in his kingdom. We're just workers for his kingdom. I'm a tool in God's toolbox. And I want to be a tool that's used. Not just one that's just, well, I don't know what that's even for. It's been in here so long, I don't even have a clue what that tool's for. We all have toolboxes like that. But we don't want to throw them away because someday we may. You see, to take us to this next level, and as well as to maintain us in this next dimension, God will have to bring people. He will have to bring events. He will have to bring circumstances into our lives at exactly the right place for you and I to be. But we have to be in the right place. That's why we have to be able to be sensitive to his will. That's why we have to communicate with him. Just as David was getting ready to fight the Philistines, God spoke to him and said, David, I want you to go over there and I want you to hide in the mulberry trees and don't move until the tree leaves begin to blow in the breeze. What if God told you to go out and hide in your neighbor's bush? You're out there hiding in his burning bush out front. You wonder, why in the world am I out here, Lord? But you see, God had a plan. God had a purpose. God always has a plan, and God always has a purpose. God's not going to make you do something that's totally stupid and foolish. Because for every purpose and every plan God has, there's a purpose. But we have to understand something, church. When God aligns things in our lives, and I've touched on this the last few weeks just in conversation here, as God aligns things in our lives and aligns things in this church and he aligns things in the world. Have you noticed how fast world events have accelerated? That should be a very good warning to all of us in the church that when we see these things come to pass, when you see these things accelerating, you know why we're noticing them more now? Because they're accelerating. They're accelerating. They're speeding up. And as things speed up, we begin to notice them. Technology is accelerated. Everything in our lives are accelerating. And God's saying, I'm getting ready to do something. There's some things that are going to take place. You better get ready. You better get ready. So when God aligns things, there's always acceleration. When I look at examples of divine alignment, Brother Forkpaw came here recently and a few months ago or so, and he brushed over this a little bit when he was here. And I spoke to him today, and I just want to pass this on. We're going to have some pictures for you a little bit later. We'll get those up there at a later date. But the land is purchased. It's all cleared, and they're in the process of building the blocks to begin the foundation and the walls, and he was all excited. He wanted to thank his cousins here at Calvary Gospel Church for what we're doing and contributing and helping them build a church in Liberia. But he made reference in Luke chapter 2, verses 25 through 27, and behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And the same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Ghost was upon him. And it was received unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came by the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him after the custom of the law. So here what's happening is here's a man in Jerusalem. His name was Simeon. He was a devout man, full of the Holy Ghost, and the Holy Ghost was upon him. And it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that you're not going to die until you see Jesus Christ. So here Mary and Joseph, they bring Jesus to the temple, and Simeon was able to take, and he was able to meet Jesus Christ there as a young child. You see, when we look at this, if you look at Simeon, how did all of this happen in his life? How was he aligned up with God? A lot of things had to happen for this incident to happen. He came by the Holy Spirit, so he was in God's divine alignment because the Holy Spirit was leading him and guiding him. One of our problems sometimes is we don't have enough Holy Spirit in us to lead us and guide us. We barely have enough Holy Spirit in us to save us. Now that's sad sometimes because we ought to be full of the Holy Ghost. We ought to be full of the Holy Ghost. Now, how full is full? Well, let me ask you this. How do you want to be used by God? I think the fuller we become, the more God begins to use us. Sometimes we look at people and it's so easy to judge. Why does God use that person? Because they're willing to allow their vessel to become full. And we don't want our vessel to be full of the Holy Ghost, because we want some of us still in that vessel. So the Holy Spirit will always bring us into divine alignment when we let Him. But that's the key right there. When we let Him. Because understand something. We control all of this. Did you know that? We can tell God no. Now God has ways of getting our attention. Listen, we will never miss our opportunity. We will never miss what God is calling us to do and what God is calling us to be if we are always led by the Holy Spirit. So whatever divine appointment God has for you in your life, you will always meet that appointment if you are always led by the Holy Spirit. So when we look at the Holy Spirit is our guarantee to God's supernatural timing and his placing. So when God spoke to David in a mulberry bush and said, wait until the wind blows, and when the wind blows, the Philistines are going to come along, and you're going to ambush them and destroy them. But you got to be patient, and you got to listen to the voice of God, and you got to wait. But when it's time to move, no matter what's in front of you, and this is where we choke a lot, no matter what's in front of us, when God says move, we've got to move. It may be Jericho standing right in front of you, and you may be saying, what in the world and how in the world, God? But God says move, and you move. Because if you're in divine alignment with the Holy Ghost, if we're in divine alignment with the Holy Ghost, when the Holy Ghost says move, God is working everything out on our behalf. So here's Simeon. He was in the right place. Did you know placement sometimes is critical in your walk with God? Did you know that? Sometimes we think that, well, you know, I can serve God anywhere. It doesn't matter where I'm at. No, I don't think that's necessarily true. You see, God places us in particular places at critical junctions in our lives for purposes. And God has placed all of us here for a purpose. And there's a reason why. You see, Simeon, he was in the right place. He was in Jerusalem. He was in the right geographical location. And as a result of that, he was able. He was also a devout worshiper. He was a church-going man. He was righteous. He wasn't a slouch. He was prophetic. He was waiting. He was waiting for the Messiah. He was waiting for that. He was patient. A lot of times we may be in the right place. We may be devout. We may be even prophetic, but we have problems with our patience. I was at a store the other day, and I tell you, no matter what line I watched an individual, no matter what line they got in, they were waiting. And you could tell they were frustrated. They were going one line, they'd go over, and then they'd go over, then they'd come back. And it's like, you know, if you just stayed in the same line. But they were so impatient. Sometimes our biggest struggle is we just have to simply be patient and wait. But we don't want to wait. We want to push through. And he had a relationship with God. The Holy Spirit was upon him. You see, God had divine alignment for Israel. You see, God wanted them to go to Canaan. That's geography. But what did they do? Because of their lack of trust. Because they didn't trust God, they spent 40 years wandering around in a wilderness. Why? Because they were not yet ready for their promise. See, what does this say right up here? It says, forward into the promise. Boy, church, I pray that we're ready for this. I pray that we're ready for this. But it's just not me being ready. It's not just Brother Brunker being ready or Scott Leonardson being ready. It's all of us being ready. Israel had a problem. They had a trust factor. Reading in Exodus 13, 17 and 18, then it came to pass when Pharaoh had let the people go that God did not lead them by way of the land of the Philistines, although that was near. That was the closer route. For God said, lest perhaps the people change their minds when they see war and return to Egypt. So God led the people around by way of the wilderness of the Red Sea and out of the land of Egypt, and the children of Israel went up in orderly ranks out. You see, when they left Egypt, they didn't know how to deal with war. They didn't know how to deal with the enemy. Therefore, as of that point in time, they could not come into God's divine alignment, because they refused to follow after the plan that God had laid out for them. So what did they do? They wandered for 40 years until they got it right. But you see, during this time, God was preparing them. Shouldn't have taken 40 years, but it did. But you see, the only thing that God required from them, when they went into Canaan, they didn't even have to draw a sword. I don't think God changed his plan. I think if they would have crossed over originally, God would have had the same plan to show them. God didn't. They crossed over. All they had to prepare themselves for was to trust in God. But you see, their focus was fear of their fear of the enemy, when it should have been focused on a trust in God. And this is the challenge to the church right now, at this time in history. We have to be focused on God first, and then man secondary. We got to focus on God. You see, God delivered Israel only after they trusted in him. Psalms 107, 4 through 6 says, they wandered in the wilderness in a desolate way. They found no city to dwell in. Hungry and thirsty, their soul fainted in them. Then they cried out to the Lord in their troubles, and he delivered them out of their distress. They were delivered when they cried out and they began to trust in God. You wander in your spiritual walk with God. You will wander around and around in desolate wilderness places when you don't trust in God. You wonder when you don't cry out to God, when you don't pray, you begin to wander around. You wonder right now in your life, if you're in one of those wandering stages in your life, you got to ask yourself, am I praying and am I trusting? You see, many people are out of God's alignment and blessings because they don't know how to deal with the enemy based upon a fear and a lack of trust in God. When you trust God, God has he just has a way of eliminating those fears. And most of this is found in a foundation in pride that I can do this on my own. I got this one, God. Yeah, I got this, God. And what happens is they become regulated in the wilderness when they should be in the promised land. They become out of step with the rest of the body. And this can apply to individuals. It can apply to families. It can apply to ministries. Because, listen to something, church, one thing that matters to God is unity. You see, the danger is that we can wander and still receive blessings. Did you know that? Israel's a perfect example of that. They wandered around. They didn't have trust in God. They didn't believe God could do what he said he could do. But they got manna every day. They were fed water every day. He gave them direction by a fire and cloud. They had all of the blessings, their clothing never worn out, their tent stakes never broke, their ropes never broke. They had everything, nothing wore out in 40 years. They were full of blessings for 40 years, yet they wandered. And just because all of your needs are met, hear me now, just because all of your needs are met does not mean that your alignment to God's will is correct. You see, church, worldly pursuits can and will block our visions when it pertains to our spiritual destiny in Jesus Christ. So when we look at Joshua 1, 10 through 18, and I'm going to just make some reference points to this. Joshua ordered the officers of the people. He says, go tell the camp and tell the people to get your supplies ready, because you know what? 3 days from now, we're going to cross Jordan, and we're going to go in and we're going to take possession of the land that your God, Lord your God, is giving you for your own. But we have 2.5 tribes. We have the Reubenites, the Gadites, and the half-tribe of Manasseh. Joshua said, remember the command that Moses, the servant of the Lord, gave you. The Lord your God is giving you rest and has granted you this land. Your wives, your children, and your livestock may stay in the land that Moses gave you east of the Jordan, but all your fighting men, fully armed, must cross over ahead of your brothers. You are to help your brothers until the Lord gives them rest, or until they have taken the land that he has done for you, and until they too have taken possession of the land that the Lord your God is giving them. After that, you may go back and occupy your own land, which Moses, the servant of the Lord, gave you east of the Jordan toward the sunrise. Then they answered Joshua, whatever you have commanded us, we will do. And whatever, wherever you send us, we will go. Just as we fully obeyed Moses, we will obey you. Only the Lord your God will be with you as he was with Moses. Whoever rebels against your word and does not obey your words, whatever you may command them will be put to death. Only be strong and courageous. So now when you look at these next verses, Joshua starts off by saying, look, we are about to cross over. He's saying, I want you to prepare provisions for yourself before we cross. And then suddenly he stops because there's something that happened prior to this, which was actually going to cause a separation of the children of Israel. So in order to understand all of this, we have to go back to Numbers chapter 32 and verses 1 through 5. Now this is back when Moses was in command. The Reubenites and the Gadites had very large herds and flocks, and saw that the land of Jazer and Gilead were suitable for livestock. So they came to Moses and Eleazar the priest and said to the leaders of the community and said, a whole bunch of them said, the land of the Lord subdued before the people of Israel are suitable for livestock, and your servants have livestock. If we have found favor in your eyes, they said, this land be given to your servants as our possession, and do not make us cross over Jordan. So what basically happened here is you have all of Israel is at the banks of the Jordan the first time, and 2.5 tribes says, you know what, we're herdsmen, this is good land for us, we want to stay here. And Moses made an agreement with them. Moses says, all right, when we cross over, you can stay here. I'm all right with that. But then we fast forward 40 years. Now they're crossing over. This time they're actually crossing over. And Joshua tells the whole group, the whole nation, he says, listen, we're all going across. And then he remembered the promise he made that Moses had made. He said, except the 2.5 tribes, but all the fighting men. So when we cross over, regardless of whether you want to or not, regardless of what's been previously promised to you, we're going to the other side. We're going over. You have one group of people within the church body that are interested in God's blessings toward them and God's inheritance. And sometimes we can have other groups of believers in that same church body that are really only interested about the earthly blessings that they can draw from being part of a body of Christ or part of a church. And God is saying to us today, and God is challenging us tonight, that listen, when God says we're going, we're all going. When God says I've called this church into a deeper level, we're all going. And that's my job as a pastor. Every ministry's going. Every preaching point's going. We're not in this just because of blessings. We're not in this just because it makes us look good. We're in this because we're going to win this. And we're all going. Are we in this? How many of you believe what God has said he was going to do? But in order to do this, church, we got to get our geography right. We got to be in the right church. We got to have the same doctrine that's based on biblical principles, not things that we see or have experienced and try to match them up with what the Bible says. But no, we have to, it's what's in the Word of God. We have to make sure our priorities are right. We have to check out the time that we spend with God, praying and worshiping and reading our Bibles. We're not going to stay very long for any length of time in any dimension with God if we don't keep our fundamentals strong. It's not going to happen. It's not going to happen. If we don't have a foundation, Bishop has taught us for 42 years about foundational living. We're not walking away from that. We're building upon that. And God is saying, listen, church, it's time to move forward. I feel like I've been saying this a lot, but I just feel that we just have such a short time. And I'm just really afraid that some of us are going to be sitting here and wondering what in the world is happening around us when God is moving and God is desiring to use you in great, great and incredible ways, but because we just, for whatever reason, it just never clicked in us. I'm just praying tonight that this would click. We have to check out if we have any fears or anxieties in our life. We have to deal with them by trusting in God. Some of us have been carrying hurts around for years, and we won't let them go. The reason we won't let them go is because they become such a part of us that they've defined who we are. It's not the case in all cases, but listen, let it out. Let it go. If you got anger, if you got bitterness, if you're frustrated, get it out. Get it out. Stop going home with it. Come down to this altar. Pray it out. Fast it out. Starve it out. Whatever you got to do, get it out of you. Because God's saying, listen, I'm about to do a great thing here, and I got a plan for you. But if you're not in the right location, if you're not doing what I've asked you to do, if you're not listening to me, I can't use you. And we got to be prepared to move quickly into something new in God. And that in God, I put down spiritual promotions. Because God is desiring to promote some of you spiritually, but because you're not in the right geography, you're not in the right place, your priorities are wrong, you've got all kinds of issues that you won't deal with. And God says, I got all of this planned for you. I got this destiny laid out. I got this incredible, mind-boggling, mind-blowing plan for your life. But you're never there. You're always out doing your own thing. And the last key that I put down here, the last point I want to add, if our musicians can come and you can stand, is we got to forget the past and press forward toward the mark of the high calling that God has given us and placed us in. You notice sometimes I'm hesitant when I say, this dimension. God desires us to operate in this dimension, and I'm hesitant because we're not all there. And we're not going to be powerful in the force of the Holy Ghost until we're all there. You see, so we got to get our geography right. We got to get our priorities right. We got to learn to trust in God and deal with fear and anxieties. We got to be prepared to move quickly, and we got to forget the past, and we got to move forward toward the mark of the high calling, because as long as we're brooding over the past, we will never be able to make that rapid progress toward the destiny that God has for our lives. It's never going to happen. We should not be bound by our failures. Sometimes we allow the sins in our lives, the past sins in our lives, to just beat us up. The Lord is merciful. He will forgive all of our sins. He will forgive all of our iniquities. He will remember them no more. So don't allow the enemy to continue to throw it in your face. When God says, I've forgiven you, I've forgotten about it. Now, it's a different thing if you keep going back to it. We must receive forgiveness for all of our sins. So if it's one of those sins that you haven't, maybe you've come in and you've been filled with the Holy Ghost and you've fallen into temptation, and come back and say, forgive me, God. I got to fall flat on my face. I got to get rid of my pride. You know, I can't tell you how many times I've had to start over with God, simply because I wouldn't let the past go. And I was just stuck in my past failures. And we allow those past hurts and disappointments to keep us in a constant state of spiritual bondage. Yesterday's over. No one here can go back and undo what happened yesterday. It's over. And tomorrow is a new day and a new opportunity to make a brand new start. But the difference between yesterday and tomorrow is what you do today. What you do within the next 15 minutes can determine. You see, the Lord's mercies are new every morning when I wake up. Every morning when I wake up, I have new mercies. There's new grace. But yet we should not persist in following our old ways and traditions when God is trying to lead us down a new path. Just as the Apostle Peter was led by the Lord to follow a new way of reaching out to the Gentiles. It was totally against his way of doing things. It was totally against his traditions. It was totally against how he had been brought up. But God says, there's a man that I've set up a divine appointment with. And Peter, I want you to get up from this rooftop, and I want you to go, and I want you to meet with him and his household, because I've got something new for my kingdom. This doctrine that you've been preaching and teaching isn't just for the Jews. It's for everybody. Because Peter was willing to follow his divine destiny, you and I are able to take and partake of this here tonight. So we cannot forget the past. When we forget the past and press toward the call of God in our lives, it's only then that we will have that sense of satisfaction and fulfillment of attaining our destiny in Jesus Christ. So, church, I'm ready. I'm desiring. I'm wanting. I believe God is giving us just a short time before he begins to even accelerate more in what he's seeking to do in our world. He's saying to the church, church, please be ready. Please be ready. Please be in the right location when I'm ready to move. I need you to listen to me. I'm trying my hardest, Bishop, to position this church so that it's ready. If it's not ready, then it's because I haven't done my job. So tonight, I just want us to just find a place to pray. And say, God, position me wherever that may be. It may be in a classroom, in a school, maybe in a hospital, maybe in a government office building. It may be at a street corner as you change your flat tire, wondering, why am I here, God? To pray for sensitivity to the voice of God. Brother Phil spoke of this on Sunday night. This just adds to our relationship with God, becoming sensitive to Him, sensitive to His voice.